are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. The Inside Mac Show takes a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. And the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro. Check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV for the coolest software to pull off content off a DVD and bring it into some editing software. Final Cut, Final Cut Express, Motion, Avid, Nitro System, anything. You name it. Cool stuff. Check it out. DVDXDV.com. Brand new websites. Go check that stuff out. MCE Technologies. These places for a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, upgrades for your new MacBook or MacBook Pro. You name it. They got all kinds of cool stuff. iPods. Check them out. MCE Tech. That's MCETech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine at PopPhoto.com. American Photo at AmericanPhoto.com. Or you can just go over to PopPhoto and grab the stuff there too. Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals over at creativepro.com. Mac Update, the place for software updates for your Macintosh at macupdate.com. The official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less at printingforless.com. And, of course, our buddy Philip Hodges, the digital production buzz, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. If you want to get really in-depth in the world of production, post-production, distribution, all that kind of cool stuff, check it out at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Brad, how you doing?
Oh, doing great, Scott. I mean, I was in Southern California this week, and it was hot. And finally, the weather has cleared, and we finally have fog again. And it's 63 degrees out there in San Francisco. It's nice.
It is nice.
Yeah, for like 14 days of just 100-degree-plus temperatures, it was... it's nice to have fog. I want it to snow. I would like snow right now. Could we just have a blizzard and just go straight into winter? You know, let's go back to rain and maybe snow.
Yeah. Heat's not fun, especially you're in the in the heat pit.
So. Yeah, we hit 109. I guess in Chatsworth, which is in the Los Angeles area, it was 120. I talked to a few people up from that area. 120 in the Los Angeles area. Crazy.
That place is such a pit.
Yeah. You know? There's a lot of good places to be, but they're very expensive to live in. And so there's a lot of nice places to live on the coast, but I'd say the general, you're probably correct, the general real estate out there is flat and smoggy and hot.
Yeah. And the problem is the places that are nice, you have to go through places that aren't nice to get to the nice places.
Yeah. Well, you'll be about like, you know, a 7-hour commute to your job. So it's a long way. Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, but hey.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, there's a nice place to be out there. I was out near the coast, and so it was nice, beautiful.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
You're out where all the gracious folks are, near Andy Shallet.
I didn't see him. I must have passed him on the freeway.
He
passed me on the
Boxster,
freeway.
You know?
Yeah, I was in a rental car, and he was on his Porsche Boxster, and I just saw just a blur.
So.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff there. But, yeah, we got a pretty cool show lined up for everybody today.
Yeah.
We have, in this hour, of course, we have Andy Shallet giving his graphic tip of the week.
Yep.
Philip Hodges with the post-production buzz news, the talk about town, the brand new Canon cameras, two new Canon HDV cameras.
Yeah.
Small ones.
That's great.
Yep. So we're going to talk about that kind of stuff, and we'll have Peter Kern on later. Peter's the cat that is the music guru guy. He's got a website called Create Digital Music.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a brand new gig called Create Digital Motion. So this is for like VJs, video DJs, guys that are doing stuff with, you know, patterns, design, club work, just, you know, cool visuals.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously the music element has always been very flexible. And now mixing is like at an entirely different level. You know, most of these dance clubs don't even play original. They just create music on, you know, it's like a performance that's just created. And so now to get some visuals to go along with it would be, is the next level, you know.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. So that's going to be cool. And a bunch of cool stuff planned for the second hour. So you're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright, and this is the Inside Mac radio program. Cool stuff. And next up, we're going to have Philip Hodges, our digital production buzzmeister. And we're going to talk about everything fit to eat in the world of
post-production, production,
cool
distribution.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD?
With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MicroMap, makers of TechTool Pro 4, brand new version out, Universal Binary. So you can check that out over at MicroMap.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I'm cool, and it's such a pleasant change.
Yeah.
What's it like now? Is it snowing down there?
And not quite. No, it's just not boiling, that's all.
Well, it feels like it's snowing because the change in temperature is so dramatic.
That's very true. There are still people in the pool outside my window, so it can't be that cold. But what else has been is a good week for camera people. If you're a shooter, you've had a really good week this week. Panasonic have finally shipped their HA-HDX 900. This is the bigger brother. This is the SDX 900 gone HD. SDX 900, the very, very popular standard def camera, now available in HD, and this is a very sweet camera. It's not quite in the affordable camera range. Starting price is $26,500. By the time you add a lens to that, looking at something in the $40,000 range. But that's for an HD camera with 2/3 inch chips in it, which means it's going to be a much cleaner signal than the 1/3 inch chips we get in the sub $10,000 affordable camcorders. But it's a pretty sweet camera.
Now this is recording to tape, DVC Pro 100.
It records to tape, yes, another thing that I rather like.
You mean?
Because I rather like having that tape back up. Tapeless workflow is coming, we all know that. And P2 is one of the offerings in the tapeless workflow, but there's still some issues about where is my master and where do I find the shot from today in 20 years' time.
Well, it's a $5,000 camera, $10,000 worth of media.
Exactly. and $15,000 worth of asset management services.
There you go. Sounds like a bargain to me.
If you're not going to spend $45,000 on a camera and not everybody's going to, well, you could have the Canon H1, which they released late last year. Well, they've now announced for shipping later in the year a wide-angle zoom lens for the XL-H1. So a 6x wide-angle lens, 24.5 to 147 in 35mm terms. So that's the equivalent. And it's pretty nice for just under $3,000.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, that's another good affordable high-definition camera.
That's $3,000 for an HD lens. That's pretty awesome. And we know that the lenses in these sub $10,000 cameras are only costing in the range of $3,000 or less, because heck, some of the cameras are under $4,000. So,
the great thing is that you got a really good piece of glass with Canon. I mean, Canon makes really good lenses, and so lenses can, in high definition, lenses become a huge factor.
Absolutely, always lenses are a huge factor. The difference between a so-so camera with a good lens and the same camera with a so-so lens, the good lens will make a difference.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The disadvantage, or the advantage of course, the H1 is it has removable lenses, but Canon went back into the market this week with two new HDV camcorders without removable lenses, but other than that, they're still very sweet. The XHA1 and the XHG1, and I love Apple's way of naming products. iPod, PowerBook, MacBook Pro, Power Mac, they make sense. They may be sometimes difficult to determine which model exactly, but, XHA1, XHG1, they don't exactly roll off the tongue. But
it's just...
That's my little rant. I want simpler names, folks. Call them Sam, Tom, and, Expert or something like that. We could, an Expert camera. Now, that's got to fly.
Yeah, that would work for me. Let's call it Fred now. We'll call it Canon's Fred.
But these two camcorders use the same 1/3 inch native 16:9 1440x1080 CCD. They're 1080i interlaced with Canon's 24F mode, which is I think they actually say F for full frame, but perhaps it's F for fudging progressive. But
Yeah.
Bad pun. Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone at Canon, but I had to do it.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going to see. Yeah, you're going to run into that's going to be one of those areas where you probably don't want to have the camera do the progressive frames. That would, unless it's a real true progressive like the JVC.
Yeah. I mean, if 24p is your look, then the JVC at 720p is the way to go. The Canon's 24F system is probably the next best, and the one you want to avoid at all costs is the Z1's in a frame mode.
sin look is what it's called, I think.
Don't
turn that on.
Yep. But all these guys are so worried about this deal to make it look like film. If it's that big a deal, just get an Arriflex 16 and shoot it on film.
Oh yeah, well that's only the beginning of your. I mean, it's sort of like P2 on steroids. You know, it's just like the beginning of your problems with when you deal with film, because the processing and everything is just so much harder to do. It'd be nice. I mean, that's what makes video so affordable, is that it's a very simple workflow to get it into a computer, and then you can apply all those effects, you know, to whatever you want to, do.
Instead of having to send them out to the lab, for sure. These two new cameras have the same 20x zoom lens, although not removable, as the H1, and the base model, the A1, is expected to sell at just under $4,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and ship in October. The G1 shares the what do they call it? The professional connector pack, the professional jack pack that is on the H1, which means that you get time code in and out, and you get HD SDI output, and you get a Genlock input.
Plus, they say that the HD XDI out has audio on it, too.
It does, yeah. Yes. It has
embedded audio. That's
yes.
Really good. Yeah. So you don't have to run a separate audio cable. You can just run one BNC coaxial cable back to your main.
Wouldn't be surprised to see a variation on the H1, a hardware reprogram perhaps, to get it come out with the embedded.
Well, it's like anything, right? It's like the guys with RealStream, you know, you could take anything and do a flash or do some kind of firmware upgrade and it's there, but all these manufacturers dumb everything down.
It's called protecting the high end.
Yeah, protecting the high end stuff. That's why, you know, that's why the revolution is coming.
Well, and that's true. And I mean, clearly the difference between the G1 and the H1 is simply the removable lens. And that, I'm sure that was done to protect the position of the H1.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Because the sensor is probably still exactly the same.
Same lens, same sensor. Probably shares an awful lot of the electronics, because that would be economies of scale and that would make sense. So it has to be these sort of things. Of course, it doesn't have the bent banana shape. It's got a more conventional shape, more like the HVX 200 and the Z1 U. So they're looking more like that. And the one with the professional jack pack is just going to be about $7,000, and they both take access from the console software, which sadly only runs on a PC for remote control.
Oh, well, we won't even get into that one.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to our friends at Canon.
Yeah, yeah, we won't bash them, yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, a lot of these things, these dedicated pieces of software like the console, you just buy a laptop for it and run it, and that's just the remote control for the camera, and it's a $1,200 remote control, not a $600 piece of software.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, they'll come out with a unit that costs $5,000, but it'll just be a PC in a black box.
Exactly. And good news for those of us who are running Intel Macs is that Flip for Mac have released their WMV support for Intel Macs native.
Excellent. Yes.
Yes, and this is great, because it runs so much faster. And even in the PowerPC version, this release increases the speed of encoding on the PowerPC quite a bit more.
Wow. That is cool. I love Flip for Mac. The thing rocks. Philip, thank you so much for joining us today. Great stuff there. There we go. Yep. Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can check him out at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be... in insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromet in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have some great movie stuff, you put it on a DVD, DVD Studio Pro, iDVD, and you now want to pull it back off and use it back in Final Cut or iMovie or whatever, this is what you need. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Brand new website, very cool, DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andy Schallert with his graphic tip of the week, the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book. How are we doing, Andrew?
Great, great, Scott. It's been a hot week, certainly. I had my car's radiator blow in the middle of the desert going up the 5. But no. Yeah.
Oh. How hot was it when your radiator...
I wanted to be in studio with you guys, and I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
It was about 110 degrees outside.
And you were in the Porsche.
Yeah.
And a radiator blew on it.
Huh?
That thing's brand new.
No, it's not brand new.
Well, it's a year old.
You can't afford a brand new Porsche? Oh, it's a 98. But that's neither here nor there, and I'm sure all my graphic design listeners don't give a dang. But anyway, it is one of those strange weeks because, what is it, in 10 days or so is the Apple Developers Conference?
Yep.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. 10 days. And that's when all the rumors are flying, and I think that designers should be aware that there are some rumors about the new desktops with the Intel chips inside. Have you guys heard about this?
No, we sort of like to, you know, I think of the whole deal with the rumor thing is we like to wait for Christmas morning to come.
Yeah.
And not break the surprise.
Yeah, that's like looking in your parents' closet for presents, you know.
Yeah, you know they're going to have, you know, because based off of what Steve said at the previous Worldwide Developers Conference keynote, that they're going to have everything rolled out within a year. That's their deal, right? So you know they're going to have some kind of box with an Intel processor in it, but...
Well, then I guess that's it. I have nothing to say. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
But no, I mean, really, think about it, though. They have they got a box with 16 Xeon processors, okay, and 16 gig of RAM.
Well, it's not so much that.
You don't have Photoshop. There's no, really, there's no, now there's pro video editing applications, okay?
That's right.
But there's no graphic design, native applications for an Intel book.
But if you use the tips that I teach, the ideas of using just what comes in the box, you can actually get away with quite a bit. And the speed of the things that do come with it that are universal work fine, you know. So you can use tricks with screen grabs, and you can use iPhoto to death because it actually does a lot of good work. And you can cobble things together. Of course, if you're going to be doing that, you're not going to be the person who's buying the big pro book anyway, or rather the big pro desktop.
Now, the thought is here, if you have a new desktop with 16 Xeon multiple core 4 gigabyte front side bus machine, okay? Maybe it's got enough, at least one, right?
It's got 6 power cords.
Yeah.
Separate units.
The thing, though, is, Andy, is maybe if you throw enough processor at it, Photoshop and stuff will run okay in a Rosetta.
Processor and RAM, exactly. That's
you know?
what I've come to learn. Exactly. And there is something else, though, that is real news, and that is that Extensis has come out with universal applications for Portfolio 8 and Suitcase Fusion. And that actually does have a lot to bear on this whole thing, because Suitcase is one of the staples of font management, along with Font Agent. Those would be the big two now. And Suitcase Fusion just came out with a universal application, so that's very good news. And that's just in time for these new new desktops as well. But it's true. You're going to have to wait for Photoshop. You're going to still have to wait for all of the other applications, the InDesign and everything else, to come up to speed so that you don't have to use Rosetta.
Yeah. Andy, your website, real quick, shallot.com?
Right.
Cool. Got it. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, an iPod, an upgrade for your anything, dual layer SuperDrive 16X for a G3, G4, G5, I just put one in a G5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's an actual Pioneer drive.
Oh, that's nice.
It's
fully compatible.
16X dual layer went right in.
Yeah.
Everything bolted right in. I took the one out of the G5, put it in. It's actually, it was interesting. It was, a little shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It just all dropped in.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll support the new Blu-ray drives when they come out. That'll be cool.
You know, that's something that I wanted to talk about with Philip, but Sonic owns the Roxio gig,
mm-hmm.
With the Toast, okay?
Yeah.
Sonic bought it from mm-hmm. whoever,
yep.
And they own Roxio, and that's Toast. Well, they announced Blu-ray support.
Yeah.
In Toast 7 dot something.
Yeah, no, I think Blu-ray will be really quite cool. One thing that's very interesting, though, is they don't, there was all this talk about HD DVD, which is one type of format, and then they have another type of format called Blu-ray. And Blu-ray was supposed to be the higher capacity format. But as it turns out, because there is a dual-layer version of HD DVD, it actually has now a higher capacity than Blu-ray because Blu-ray is still limited to a single layer. So it turns
right.
out that HD DVD can hold 30 gig versus Blu-ray's 25 on a single layer, but they haven't perfected the dual layer on Blu-ray yet.
Right. You know they will, though.
Oh, yeah, maybe they will. Yeah, I mean, I hope they will. But it's real interesting. It's that there's been also other comparisons, which now that I've been following it, it shows that initially the discs that came out for HD DVD look better than the Blu-ray discs. So the people that have been reviewing it, apparently the people that encoded the Blu-ray discs used basically MPEG-2, and the people that encoded the HD DVD discs used VC1, which is the Windows Media, and
right.
they also used H.264.
Right,
and
so of course they look better.
They look better.
Right.
And
all they did with the MPEG-2 is they just upped the bit rate.
They did.
So instead
so
of going, now here, traditional DVD
mm-hmm.
that you buy that's a Glassmaster DVD, it's basically a dual layer, 9 point,
mm-hmm.
4 gig or whatever. We're talking a compression ratio on the DVD from source material. The DVD is about 10 to 1, 11 to 1.
It's not necessarily
10 to 1.
It depends upon the length of the movie. I mean, it really depends upon a lot of factors. There's Super Bit, which basically usually what they do is they get a 2 hour movie on two dual layers. They put 1 hour on each layer.
Right.
And that has really good quality. In fact, what they were saying initially was that the Super Bit releases looked almost identical to the Blu-ray releases. I mean, you couldn't tell much difference.
Right.
And also the big thing that happens with this, and here's where really, where you have to kind of go back, is that some of the masters that they created for DVD or even for the high-definition masters aren't that good. And so no matter what you do, you may not ever get the movie until they go back and really clean it up. Maybe at, rescan the film and they take it back and process it and everything. You may not get a good looking disc, no matter what the resolution of the disc is. The master's messed up. You're not going to see, good video.
Yeah. In the second hour, I want to talk about this a lot because if anybody reads anything with like Cinematography Magazine or some of these other ones, there's a guy named Mark Cuban
mm-hmm.
that is a guru in the industry. I don't know if you heard of Mark Cuban before.
Mark Cuban?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not Mark Cuban.
Cuban,
guy.
Okay.
Talking about high-definition televisions, the pixel density, and the viewing distance, it's interesting. Hey, you're listening to Inside Mac Show. Next up, Peter Kern. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our media partner, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. Very cool site. Everything you need to know about digital imaging. Photography, great stuff there. Even film. Still doing film stuff. So check it out over at popphoto.com. Brand new website. Just like DVDXDV. Everybody's got new gigs, you know. New digs, brand new website, cool stuff. So, you know, like I said, check them out. Popphoto.com. Very cool. Right now we're here with Peter Kern, the creator of Create Digital Music, but he's got a brand new gig called Create Digital Motion. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing really well.
Cool. How are things in New York City today?
Pretty good. A little hot, but otherwise good.
Yeah, great. So let's talk about this. You know, you've been running, you teach music and theory and high-end stuff and do seminars and stuff at universities all over the country, and you create music yourself, a lot of electronic stuff, live performances there in New York City. But there's this other component of people that are doing these live performances and live DJing type stuff and, you know, Ableton and Live and all this cool stuff going on is the visual component.
Absolutely. What we're seeing is a lot of people who started out in music are finding out that some of the stuff that they've been doing with digital sound and digital music, they can apply to digital visuals and live visual materials and live video.
Well, now, I know there's been a huge revolution in music and in mixing, and in fact, a lot of these clubs don't even have original music. A DJ just shows up and creates the performance, you know. And so is this part of that whole sort of revolution where they've got music sort of figured out and now they're going to the next level and putting in video screens and really creating a lot of high-end visuals for that effectively performance created music?
Absolutely, yeah. And people are coming at this from a lot of different angles. There are the DJs who are getting into live visuals, and they're kind of approaching it from a DJ perspective. They're thinking about mixing live video in two channels the same way you would mix sound, and they're thinking about scratching video. And we see a lot of these techniques from the DJ world applied to video and visuals. And then you have people who come from more of an artistic background who might have a broader definition of that and bringing in animation. You have people who are motion graphics artists by day who work in Flash as their day job and then go into nightclubs and want to bring those visuals, kind of make them more improvisatory and live. So there are a lot of different approaches to this, which is kind of what makes it exciting to me.
Mm. Now, what's some of the techniques that are really popular right now? What kind of tools are they sort of using now to sync? Because effectively, this music has to be sort of synced to the beat and changing all the time, which is kind of difficult.
Well, you have both. I think you have people who are doing DJ-style visuals, like I said, and trying to synchronize those visuals to music. There are lots of ways of synchronizing visuals and music, but if you really want to be a great VJ, you have to be able to do it by hand and kind of listen to the music and you play your visuals the same way you play an instrument. And then you have other people, like I said, who come from an artistic background who are thinking a little more broadly about interactive art and ways that visuals can be responsive and operate in real time. And it can involve everything from using live video inputs that do motion tracking and translate movement and turn that into visuals to all kinds of other techniques. So it's really wide open. I think that's what attracts people to it, is that it's a totally wide open field and you can really do anything you want.
What's the biggest deal that's the coolest new thing here with this intermixion of, you know, mixing of music and this visual component? You know, tell us about what's cool with the hardware. I know a lot of these guys are doing this stuff on Mac. I'm sure some of the stuff's on PC too, but what's like the hot piece of software that guys are using to do these kinds of live performances based off of, you know, club music or what's going on?
Well, the piece of software that I'm most excited about right now on the Mac is this new music utility called Racks from Plask, which is the Australian company that came out with Comic Life. Rax is their new music application. And built into it is a live visual component that allows you to, using some of the stock visuals that they have or creating your own, create live visuals. And it's because it runs on the graphics card, you could do this on a single Mac laptop, like a MacBook, have the visuals running at the same time that you're running digital audio on that same computer. And it takes advantage of an Apple tool called Quartz Composer, which is a free tool included with the developer install of macOS 10.4. I expect we'll see an upgraded version in Leopard in 10.5. But it's a really easy way for people who are musicians to kind of get into this and experiment with projecting fun eye candy behind them while they play.
Sure. Now, I think one of the things is, what about hardware interfaces? Now, of course, you know, you can do this with a Mac and a laptop, but then there's control services. And is there a way to integrate any other type of typical control services? Or, you know, I know a lot of people make these lighting control boards now that run in with a Macintosh and PCs that have a USB connection, and you can control lighting in a club via these boards and also hook it in with a computer. But is there some kind of cool mechanical interface that you can actually interface with, you know, human to software instead of using a mouse?
Well, the easiest thing to use, and this is part of why we saw this crossover between Create Digital Music and Create Digital Motion, the easiest hardware to use is MIDI hardware. So what you'll see a lot of VJs use are MIDI keyboards from companies like M-Audio and Eterol, companies that make music keyboards. You can assign different video clips to different notes of the keyboard. You can have effects running off different knobs. And we're also starting to see dedicated control surfaces. Just last week, Newmark, the DJ company, was showing off its new solution, which is called New VJ. And all it is a MIDI control surface. You could certainly use it with music software if you wanted, but it's set up to look a lot like a piece of DJ equipment. So almost anything can work, but what a lot of people do is use the music hardware because it's cheap and pretty easy to use.
Right. I mean, you can go buy some Behringer deal, right, because a lot of their controllers are MIDI-based.
Absolutely, although one of the problems we came across was the new Behringer BCD 2000, which is their DJ controller. The one we wanted to use with the Mac doesn't seem to have finished Mac drivers yet. It may later on, and that's the story that we're watching. It's part of why we were interested in this new Newmark new VJ, because it does have Mac drivers and Behringer doesn't, and that's part of the reason why we try to pay attention to these cross-platform issues.
Yeah. And how do you think this is going to all evolve here, Peter, with the, of course, the Macs now with Intel processors, and you can run, you know, Windows inside of the Mac now within a window, or you can just do a dual boot and this other stuff, and do you think that it's going to be easier now for people to write drivers for their existing stuff on a PC and make it easier for them to write just a little bit of code change, and it'll work on the Mac now?
Well, it's not really going to be any easier for them to write Mac drivers now than it was before. Despite the fact that there's a different processor inside the computer, the developer tools that you use to write the drivers and what Apple provides these companies, everything else pretty much the same as it's always been. But because the music market and now the new live visual market is so intensely fond of the Mac, any company that really wants to make a serious splash in this industry needs to develop for both platforms. It's really as simple as that. And there are a lot of tools that are really unique to the Mac. There are lots of reasons to even develop Mac-only products. So while I don't see the Intel Mac situation really changing the availability of products for the Mac, I do think the Mac's going to continue to be a really strong platform for this stuff. And that's why we feel like it's important to cover both platforms as equally as we can.
Yeah.
Now, so they're effectively running a DVI cable straight out of their Mac laptop to do all of this. Has anybody tried to do multiple displays or go with even more elaborate setups with multiple projectors?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something that's possible. It often requires multiple machines just because one machine has so much to do, but there are people who've worked with multiple projectors out of a single machine, especially if you have a desktop computer where you can add another graphics card, which is something you can do in the Power Mac line. But yeah, that's something I think we'll see a lot more of. I should say, though, that what a lot of people use as their video output is just the S-Video jack, so they don't really do very high-resolution graphics. But with more and more 3D accelerated graphics, that's going to start to change. We start doing this stuff at a lot higher resolutions.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So are the clubs that you have actually set up today, I mean, are they able to handle this? I mean, are they so they just basically would have an S-video input set up, wired up into the DJ booth. But in the future, they're probably going to be upgrading their equipment?
I hope so. We're going to certainly keep a lot of pressure on them to do just that. But yeah, a surprising number of clubs have projectors. Anybody who's really serious about VJing winds up investing some money in a projector just so that they have the ability to do this wherever they need to. But that's the other thing that's happening is projectors are getting brighter, better colors at a lot cheaper price. I mean, I just picked up a projector for about $600, and it's 1,600 lumens, and it looks fantastic. And it's a DLP projector. The contrast looks great. I mean, this would be unheard of just a few years ago.
Peter, we're going to come to break. You want to hold on with us and chat some more?
Absolutely. I'll be here.
There we go. We got the guru of Macintosh music on the line here. We have Peter Kern, the creator of the brand new site called Create Digital Motion, and, of course, his really cool site, Create Digital Music. If you want to know about anything in the Mac stuff, we got the man. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine, the coolest book for checking out high-end professional digital and film photography. You can check it out at AmericanPhoto.com, or you can just cruise on over to PopPhoto.com because now they've integrated the site, so it's very cool stuff. Check it out, PopPhoto.com. We're here with Peter Kern, the creator of Create Digital Motion, and we're talking about the interaction between visuals and music and what they call VJing. That's a, you know, virtual video DJ. Peter, what else is happening in this space? It looks like it's pretty cool. This new Newmark gig is pretty neat, and are you seeing it, at least where you're at, because you're in the bed of this stuff there in New York City, are you seeing that a lot of clubs now have projectors and it's easy for a guy to come in and just plug into the system and just go?
Well, I'd like to say it's easy. I'm not sure it is so easy, but that's been one of the things we've been covering already, and I think we'll cover in the future is sort of how to deal with these clubs. But there are an awful lot of projectors out there, and it's really hard to believe that they're not going to continue to populate the earth as the prices continue to come down. So it's a pretty exciting time. I think we're going to see projectors all over the places, and in clubs and public spaces and art galleries and art museums. A lot of this has been centered on the club life, but it's in a lot of other places as well. People are beginning to see this as a new medium, and unlike other digital video and other digital photography, instead of being about rendering something in advance, the idea is try to make something that's live and real-time and interactive and fun to play with and a lot more like a musical instrument in that way.
Now, are you seeing is that the hottest DJs, the guys that were the best now, they're now taking a strong interest in this whole digital video, I mean, the whole, not digital video, but the motion visuals now? Because that would get them to the next level? I mean, do they get better gigs when they add the visuals?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think if it's an A-list gig, odds are that there's going to be some kind of visuals projected behind them, and increasingly it's live. Because there's an interaction that happens. I mean, a lot of times you see these guys play with pre-rendered videos, things like that. But there's an interaction that happens when you have a live human being who's able to listen to the music and go with the direction that's going and keep everything synchronized and exciting. There's something that happens there that definitely doesn't happen when you're just rendering visuals to a DVD.
So the DJ is actually, he's actually creating the music for the club, and he is also creating the music for the visuals, but he's also reacting to what the crowd's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the VJ's job as well. And actually, there's been a lot of debate about whether we should call ourselves VJs or whether we should call ourselves visualists. there are people who do this who don't really like the term VJ and maybe don't even like DJs. But I think what all of these things have in common is that sense of doing something that's a live performance that responds to an audience and that is improvisatory and live and exciting in that way.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Now, Peter, how do we find out more information on Create Digital Motion? What's going on with all this, VJ or whatever you want to dub it as, visualization with the music? And then, of course, your other sites and your other stuff, because you got a couple books out, and, you're just cranking along here, buddy.
We're cranking along. Well, people can come to createdigitalmotion.com for the motion site. If music is more your thing, that's over at createdigitalmusic.com. And the book to read on the music side is my book, Real World Digital Audio, from Peach Pit Press, which is also plugging along. And that's where to go.
Cool. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. You got to check out Create Digital Motion. It's a great site. It's very cool stuff. The whole visual deal is cool. And even if you don't have to be a VJ, you can just do this for yourself.
Yeah, in your, just have a little private party.
Have a party, throw a projector up. You can buy them now for $800.
Yeah.
Put a projector hanger from the roof. You can do some cool stuff. Your neighbors will think you are hip, brother. You're on it. It's
yeah.
Cool. All the girls would like it. Yeah. It's cool stuff. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Brad Wright and Scott Shepherd. We'll be right back after this short break. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. And the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, the Digital Production Buzz, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio show, Printing for Less. You can check out all this information and all the cool stuff that's going on over at InsideMacRadio.com. You're here with Brad Wright, Scott Shepherd, and we just were joined this hour with Art
Someone
Morrison.
No one knows.
They don't.
That's but you've heard him before.
That's always
Where have you heard this voice before?
That's always refreshing. hey, good. The guys are really informative. They're up on everything Mac, and they're bringing in people that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
That's cutting edge.
That's right.
Shep, that's cutting edge. Okay, we just lost a quarter of your audience. Why is he there? Dino Orlando, is it safe to call her News Babe?
Yeah, this is our News Babe, yeah.
The News Babe, as well as being an attractive young thing who drives one heat-seeking Mustang GT convertible, she's also, what do they call those folks who duel with swords?
Fencer.
A fencer. Well, you may not know this, but she's a fencer, and they practice like a couple times a week. And there's a ball bearing on the end of the swords that they use so you don't stab anybody?
Right.
She's so gutsy, they don't use a sword with a ball bearing on the end. And apparently laid her hand open this morning while fencing and is in San Jose General right now getting 100 or 200 or 300 stitches.
There you go. How fun.
So that's, I get to do the news for her today.
Yeah?
And I think this might be my big break.
Whoa. Yeah.
You're smiling. Oh, no, you're laughing at me. I got it.
No, I think this is good. We got the voice.
Okay, yeah.
You got to do the opening.
I'm the guy that does the, this is Inside Mac. Yeah, I'm the big mouth. And that's my claim to fame. And as you guys, I know, are thinking right now, it's not much.
It is, though.
It's huge.
Oh, come on.
We're a huge fan.
Stroke that ego. Where's the Billy Squire? Stroke me.
Okay. Yeah.
half the audience probably wasn't even born then when that song came out.
Good, because I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just coming back from my seventh tour on the USO circuit.
Yeah.
Peace Corps. Was that 81, 82?
I think so, yeah.
I love it. I'm getting in the way, guys. Take it away, Shep.
No, we're chatting.
No, we're cool. No, we're rocking. Yeah, this is good.
But, so we've been talking about all kinds of cool things.
Well, you guys were at the races, speaking of this week.
Yeah.
We were out at the NHRA races at Infineon Raceway.
Does your audience know about your past?
No.
I'm going to pimp you right now, Mac Daddy. What? Scott Shepard, as well as being a Mac devotee from day one, back when the Mac was a little tiny thing, and has an illustrious career in American drag racing. You actually manufactured a lot of the parts that were in all these big funny cars and rails and all that
stuff. Nitro burning funny cars.
Nitro burning top fuel pro stock.
Well, we went
all
up,
kinds of stuff. Yeah.
We went up to what used to be called Sears Point in southern Sonoma County here in Northern California yesterday.
Yep.
Scott was nice enough to drag me along with him. I was like the little 5-year-old. What's that, Daddy? That's a nitro car. Get out of the way. And we met a lot of the cats that Scott Shepard dealt with 20 years ago when he was doing that before getting into the whole Mac thing. It was a gas, and now I know what it feels like to say, I love the smell of nitromethane in the morning.
It is loud, isn't it?
No, it's as I was. I talked to Dina last night, and she said I was describing the volume of the whole thing, and I said, she goes, well, loud, like seeing The Who loud, and I said, no, this is the loudest audio. This is the loudest sound I've ever felt,
and it's very bassy too. And
oh, it's no, just, it's beyond
it's just,
bass.
It's beyond. It's just incredibly powerful stuff.
Yeah, this is down to, we're talking down to like 1-2 hertz here. You know, I had the earplugs in. You're Johnny Macho. You're out there without earplugs. I've got earplugs in, and I'm
going
and I can
deaf.
Still, yeah, I'm still going deaf.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Next up, we're going to talk more cool things about who knows what. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and want to find the greatest tips, tricks, information, all the cool stuff going on in your industry, you can check it out over at creativepro.com. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Art Morrison. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm just standing in your glory.
Yeah.
I'm just kneeling at Mecca.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes as fast as I can write them.
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right.
This Art is a longtime broadcaster.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Focus on
let's
my
focus on Art.
No,
let's
I mean, let's talk about this segment.
We're going to talk about Art Morrison.
Oh, okay. Come on. You're losing your
cue. Is...
To borrow a radio term, you're losing your cume again. You're cleansing your audience. They're going, whoa, I just heard the door slam and hit me in the hiney. Whoa. Yeah, I'm a broadcaster, and now let's go on to something fun.
No, but Art has, you know, done some pretty cool gigs before.
Yeah,
you were the voice of the WB. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, no.
Give
no,
us
no.
a Buffy
oh,
right
do,
now.
No. Do a Buffy.
You did Buffy.
Do a Buffy intro.
Then, on an all-new Buffy. No, that's not Casper the Friendly Ghost.
No, I was not I was not actually with WB. I was, you know, Michigan J. Frog, the dancing frog.
Yeah.
Remember when the WB launched?
Yeah, yeah.
He sang all his copy, and he was the guy on Beauty. He was the guy doing the Beast on
Beauty and the Beast
on Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, and the head of the WB said, "Well, let's have him talk too, and say, you know, coming up." And he didn't sound like that. They wanted him to sound big and bold, like his singing voice. So I auditioned for it and went up on the ranch and got in. I know I was never the voice of the WB. I had a run on NBC Soaps, which is not nearly as cool as the Dancing Frog.
Right.
You know, I wanted the top hat and a cane. And
right.
What I got?
Will Jim give it up for Laura? Next on Another World.
Hey man, it was great cash, and I got to go on the lot at NBC in Burbank, and that was cool.
Right. Yeah, this is back when Carson was still around.
No, this is about 5 years after Carson. This is back in 97, 98. Oh, okay. Leno was still a brunette. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so same building and all that, and yeah. That and $1.50 gets you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Okay.
Right.
Now, on the fun stuff. What's next?
That's
guys?
What we're talking about. That was fun. We're talking about cool voice work. You were the voice of CNET Radio.
I was the voice of CNET Radio. I got to work with Brian and all those cats over at CNET Networks. We were three different studios in three different years that it ran, and ended up at their world headquarters over on 2nd in San Francisco. That was an amazing thing for for an idiot like me to be around all these people who are cutting edge and working with Brian Cooley was an amazing thing. Brian and I go back to LA Radio where he did Yucks and Schmucks in the morning with John London and the house party down there.
Yeah.
And so that was real cool. He brought me on. I think he felt sorry for me.
Yeah.
Let's throw the idiot a bone. And but I mean, it was a really good experience, and CNET's just top of the game.
Shucks and Smucks, look at the bean counters that killed the gig at CNET. There's a bunch of schmucks.
Well, it was also when the let's just say the market, the NASDAQ, was correcting itself too. So I mean, that had a lot to do with it.
It was trying to throw things overboard to get the balloon to go higher.
Yeah,
namely the stock.
But I think now
anything overboard they could get.
I think the people that watch CNET would tell you that they were wise in letting it go, because it's a hybrid. It was a hybrid of a business format, really, on radio. And though it worked well in Silicon Valley, we had some ratings in San Jose. Mm-hmm. Even with a very limited signal on the radio station that we had in San Francisco, there wasn't enough to support it, and they got rid of it before it really sapped their energies. So it was a wise thing to do. They probably should have put it on the air back in 98 when the NASDAQ was just, uptrending, and made some more money before they pulled the plug in 03.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But I mean, it was
made
just
it go public. They should just like an IPO at, at 99 or 2000.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was fun to be around Desmond Crisis and all these tech minds and some great, great journalistic reporters. We had people from all the big radio stations in town. That Brian Cooley was able to bring over. And even in the way we covered 9/11, we got major, I'm not trying to blow smoke, but I am.
Bad pun there.
Brian and the journalists on staff got major kudos from all the San Francisco written press on how we covered 9/11 without doing promos on the carnage and so forth. They said it was more tasteful. So
yeah,
it was just a great experience on my part to be there. And it was fun. It was my launch into mass quantities of tech.
That was the...
Yeah.
Sent in over the edge.
Yeah, very small staff just trying to stay ahead of the tech news. As you guys know, there's just so much to stay on top of, especially when you're dealing with Microsoft.
All the heathens.
All the heathen boxes, as you like to say, yeah.
Yeah, the knuckle draggers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the chill guys.
Yeah, like me trying to hook up my Dell to a G5 this past week with a KVM that is making me nutty. So I'm starting to understand what you're getting at, Scott.
Nobody in their right mind needs a PC.
Not now. I mean, the funny thing about it is that the cost differential between the Mac and the PC is negligible, almost nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you actually went out and took your PC and you tried to get all the software that comes out of the box with the Macintosh, it would cost you substantially more than the PC. I mean, the PC would be substantially more than the equivalent Macintosh.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would go up tremendously.
Even if we don't even talk about hardware, okay? Mm-hmm. The operating system is garbage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, not to mention the amount of downtime that you'd be spending cleaning your system, fixing problems, cleaning out spyware.
I'm not trying to be mean to the guys in Redmond and all these poor cats that code this stuff and try to put all this work out and do good stuff. Mm-hmm. But, dude, find another job, man.
I think it's right.
Well,
I think it even comes back to, which is really quite funny, is that they are going off into diversifying their business. They're going off the Xbox. Now they're going off into some MP3 music player.
Yeah,
called
good
Zoom.
Luck. Those guys are smoking
and
big
it's
rocks.
Like, why don't you? You're still your core of your business is suffering. So you're not. They're defocusing themselves on fixing the core part of their business.
Well, it's a branding issue.
It
really comes down
trouble.
Absolutely, and it potentially is going to get worse. Take a lesson from the folks at Mercedes Benz. Don't make a 20
Chrysler.
Don't make a 20,000. No, this goes back before Daimler Chrysler bought Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
Daimler bought Chrysler.
Oh, you're talking about the C-Class.
Don't make a 190 because your brand is $40,000 luxury cars and up.
Right.
And they really diluted the brand when they brought in the little car, the little $22,000, $25,000 190.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody will say Classic Coke was a marketing tool, but I got to believe there were some people... You know, somebody lost their gig over Coca-Cola.
I think it was like they fired an entire like section of people over mistakes like that.
Oh, know? They I mean, do
massive.
Yeah, yeah. We can probably get a couple of them on the phone here.
So really, it does. I mean, I think it really goes down to is that where companies really make the big mistakes is that they transition wrong into other areas of business that just aren't, you know, like from Coke to New Coke.
No doubt.
Microsoft into MP3 players because they just don't. That's not their focus. That's what they don't understand that market, and I think that's where their big problems are going to be.
Yeah. Oh well.
Under promise, over deliver.
For God's sake,
stay focused.
Don't run Windows. Let a friend run Windows.
Thank goodness we've just fixed all of Redmond's problems.
Yeah, right.
I feel so much better.
I know how to fix your problems, but I'm not going to say it.
Easy, Tyree. Put the gun down.
Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, we're going to have all the news that's fit to eat in the Lando Mac. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less. If you want the coolest place to get stuff printed for your Mac or even not on a Mac, doesn't matter what it is, if it's scribbled on the crayon, they can print it. Check them out at printingforless.com. Arthur.
I realized yesterday that your old-time cronies up at the NHRA races up in Sonoma County called you Shep-a-lot.
Yeah.
I like that. Is that one of those nicknames you're trying to lose?
What, Shep?
Yeah.
No, whatever.
What do you guys
say? Call me other things besides that, I can tell you, but I'm not going to say them now.
I heard a few of those, too. And we'll be yanked off the air in San Francisco if we mention them. Yeah, we won't do that.
Yes.
All right, Shep.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm getting nervous. Thank you, Dina, and I hope the bleeding stops soon. If you haven't tuned in, Dina Orlando, news babe, cut herself, lancing it out with her partner.
Yeah, but you should see the other guy.
You should see the other guy. I understand he just lost a hand. You're supposed to put that little ball bearing on the end of your sword, and she's in San Jose General right now getting stitches. Is it my turn to do the news?
Yes.
I think. Well, we don't have to talk about the news.
No, let's do the news.
Oh,
let's
man, come on. This is my this is my big chance.
And now, right. The news with Art Morrison.
Thank you, sir. A few days ago, a story in the Chicago Tribune reported that Apple spokeswoman Natalie Karras... Why do I suddenly sound like Don Pardo? That's right.
How about Don LaFontaine?
Natalie,
the world,
I wish.
Time.
Natalie Karras said that the iPod failure rate is less than 5% and that it's designed to last 4 years. Well, that caused controversy right there. Apple has denied that claim and has clarified the quote. According to the company, what Karras actually said is that iPods have a very low failure rate. I don't know where the 5% came from. And are designed to last for years. Not 4 years.
Can you imagine you walk into a doctor's office and you're waiting for the prognosis and he says, well, so what do I have? You've got a cold. Well, what does that mean? Well, don't worry about it. You'll last for at least 4 years.
No, yeah, well, yeah, and what they said was you'll live for years.
We'll live for years, yeah. And it said like me, no, you meant I'll live only 4 years?
The bloke stumbles out going, I've only got 4 years left. Honey.
Where's the AK?
Sell the house. We're moving to Bolivia.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Ooh, Yale.
Apple said, come on, moron, listen closely to the very interview you're trying to conduct. Your iPod is going to be around for a long time. Tribune hasn't updated the story. probably wants it to merely go away. See, at Inside Mac Radio, we demand accountability of little publications like the Chicago Tribune.
There you go.
Well, it seemed like every day this past week, iTunes was adding new content, and Apple continued its TV expansion this week and has reached deals with E! Entertainment Television, Warner Brothers, the WB, as well as the rest of them nifty cats across the street here at CBS. First season of Friends is now available, as well as the first season of The Flintstones and, my favorite, The Jetsons.
Oh, I love The Jetsons.
Oh.
Elroy.
His boy, Elroy, and that babe, that beautiful blonde babe. What's her name? What was the daughter's name? And suddenly my 47-year-old brain goes white line.
It was that.
Wait, nope, nobody in the booth knows. Anyway, there's a bunch more. Don't have time to announce all of them now. Got to tell you Dina's story about iTunes. I know she's been whining for weeks that Metallica was not offering any of their tunes on iTunes. Newsflash. The official website, from their official website, a note to bands, 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, July 25th, Metallica will begin offering their music on iTunes Music Store, a Cupertino, California-based upstart outfit who we feel may very well have a future is where we're going to make those tunes available.
How beautifully understated.
I love it.
Yeah.
Smoke another one, guys.
Hey, you're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be back with more Mac news that's fit to consume.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
If you wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get your Macintosh fresh and updated and happy and all the software up to date? Well, this is a place to go. Check them out at MacUpdate.com. Now back to Art Morrison with the news.
In for the recovering Dean Orlando, who is at San Jose State Hospital. State Hospital, that's a mental institution, isn't it?
It was, yeah.
She's at San Jose
now General. Now it's a campus for Sun, I think.
Okay, absolutely. She's at San Jose General right now getting her limbs sewn up from a fencing accident earlier today. So do pray for her, and I'll give you a report next week in the event that she's still laid up. Well, in other news at this hour...
That sounds so news official, doesn't it?
Yeah, go ahead. In other news at this hour, iTunes scoops Beach Boys pet sounds exclusively. Macworld UK, the story comes. EMI is planning to release a digital collector's version of the Beach Boys Pet Sounds album. Now, the question, you were dissing me on an earlier story about how far back do you go. Do you remember Pet Sounds, my young man?
Oh, well, I wasn't around when Pet Sounds came out.
Say
but,
no more.
However, that was a groundbreaking album. That's when when the Beach Boys became serious musicians. And so it is really considered one of the, sort of the Sgt. Pepper
of their genre.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold that Sgt. Pepper comment to the end of the story. EMI is planning to release a digital collector's version of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album. It'll be shipped on August 28th and will run exclusively on iTunes for about a month, 4 weeks, before being distributed on other services. The 40th anniversary collection is a revised edition of the 12th studio album from the band, from the Freaks. Yeah, what's his name out of bed yet? Who's the one?
Oh, you mean Brian Wilson?
Wilson, yeah.
Oh no, Brian Wilson's fine. I mean, Brian Wilson went through.
Didn't he? Massive depression and stayed in bed for like 8 years.
Yeah, but you know what? He had a pretty rough life.
He really did.
He had a pretty horrible life.
Oh, he did.
Was you know? But he was all hats to him for actually recovering from that.
Incredibly gifted producer.
Oh, not only that, but a great talented musician.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely
fantastic.
Well, Paul McCartney said he figured no one is truly educated musically and mechanically, musically especially, until they've heard that album and ingested Pet Sounds. In all, there are 90 audio tracks included within the Pet Sounds collection, and I, for one, can't wait. You got to love any album that has a goat on the cover. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. Elsewhere, you'll soon be able to download videos and music from iTunes at an airport. So that 13-hour layover at JFK on your way to Amsterdam, Scott, will be well worth your while and run up your visa bill. Australian hardware and software developer 22Moo has begun development on Pod Buffet. Little caviar with your iTunes? A cost-effective iTunes kiosk the company wants to make available at airports, hotels, and shopping centers. Currently, the prototype will be powered by an Apple Intel-based Mac Mini running a 15-inch TFT touchscreen with virtual keyboard software, wireless internet connection, and a customized application for timed access to iTunes.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
So you're basically, if you're stuck, like you're saying, stuck in the airport and your flight's been laid over and you've listened to every track in your iPod 20 times over, you can go out and get some fresh tunes.
Yeah.
Without really having to go out and log on to their wireless internet and all that. You can just get straight out of the airport.
Save your sanity. I think the problem is going to be if you can get through the wall of 14-year-olds that are lined up to use the kiosk. I think this is going to bump. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Elsewhere, a startup developer is integrating iTunes music with an upcoming video game. Christian video game developer of Left Behind Games plans to combine links to iTunes song sales within its titles by allowing users to purchase tracks and play custom iTunes playlists from within its Eternal Forces real-time strategy video game. That will ship in October. According to the company, gamers can customize their own music lists and listen to the songs they download while playing the video game as well. So it's going to be really, really helping you on the multitasking there.
Sounds really cool.
That's all Dina wrote. Dina, we hope you're out of the hospital soon.
Yeah, send your emails in and wish her luck.
We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz. This is on Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. All the information you need for post-production, pre-production, distribution, very cool. Check them out. Right now we're joined with Russell Hart. Russell is the executive editor of American Photo Magazine. Russell, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? Before we start, I should just say, I think the name of the daughter on the Jetsons was Judy.
Oh,
Judy.
Oh,
it is.
Right.
Daughter Judy. What a fine little babe.
James.
Thank you.
Well, and Elroy was the son, I think.
Elroy. He was.
And what was the dog's name?
Astro.
Was it Astro or something? Astro.
I still want that car.
See, that's where all the tech addiction started, because you wanted to live the Jetsons life. Now we're all into tech because of that.
Well, you can buy the furniture at IKEA.
That's right.
That old Scandinavian thing started with the Jetsons.
Yeah. So
where were we?
Russell, tell us about American Photo Magazine. Different type of publication than Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. You, of course, are the executive editor. American Photo is on the higher end type photography. Tell us about the magazine.
Yes and no. I mean, we're the sister publication to Popular Photography. Pop is the largest imaging magazine in the world. We're the second largest, and we're sort of yin and yang. They're more how-to oriented. They're more all about products and technology. We're really more about the art of it, and not that we don't talk about technology, because obviously that drives the art, but we tend to look at more what photographers are doing, and then sort of how the gear sort of they're using, influences their working style and vision and so forth.
Yeah, very interesting.
But our readership is mixed. We've got, I would say, maybe about 70% advanced amateurs, you know, people who are serious about photography, about 30% professional. And we have a largely male readership, but that's actually changing. We're getting a lot more women than we used to.
Yeah, actually,
maybe because our covers are tamer.
Well, that's actually a really interesting thing, is that, you know, digital photography is now cutting across into everybody. It's not just a kind of a guy or a geeky thing, but it's like, even my wife now, I mean, she just loves to get, she'd rather, much rather use the digital SLR than the point and shoot, because the digital SLR is fast, immediate, and when you're trying to shoot kids, you need that quick response. And so I think it's now really becoming a very mainstream thing.
Yeah, and it is a very, you're right, it's a very female thing too in the mainstream. I think probably predominantly female. The photographer in the house, you know, at least the sort of the snap shooter, is usually the mom.
Sure, and I think, like you said, the adoption of the magazine with more females lately is because you guys have tamed down the covers a bit.
And what's interesting is that we found that cameras often sell issues more effectively than, you know, something a little more racy.
But. Well, yeah, you guys, you used to have great covers of celebrity people.
That too, yeah.
You know, professional photographers doing excellent photography work, but it might happen to be a subject matter of...
it might turn some people off, yeah, and that's the
I don't know why, but, you
yeah.
know, I guess it could be
well, don't understand
it's more of a girl thing.
Yeah, it'd just be the... It's you know, it's typical type of... You know, it focused more on the photographic technique than the gear. And so now you have more of a balance in you know, working on with the gear.
Yeah, yeah, and the stories behind pictures, you know, what it took a photographer to get a certain picture. And as much his philosophy as his actual equipment. That's what our readers really want to know about. They want to know about the gear, and that's something we definitely give them in the magazine. But it's more... It's usually in the context of how pictures are made, as opposed to here's something you should try right now.
Yeah.
But we every year we do our editor's choice issue, which is the issue that's out there now, and it's where we basically devote the whole magazine to the current technology, the latest, greatest technology, and it's our chance to really focus on the gear and what, you know, what our favorite cameras are and lenses and all the way down to, you know, printers of different types, storage devices and software, and even camera cell phones.
Well, let's start off here at the cream of the crop, the professional digital SLR.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to give this away, because, of course, we want people to actually go on the website and look.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fastest growing category in the whole digital marketplace, the digital SLR, and that's certainly because the price of them has come, you know, well within reach of most, you know, amateur photographers, or many amateur photographers, I should say, which means $500 or $600, including a lens. You can spend more, but you don't have to. You get something really good for that. In fact, the expansion of that market is why when we did our editor's choice issue this year, we broke digital SLRs down for the first time into three categories. One being entry level models, which are those $500, $600, $700 models, and then sort of advanced models in the middle, and then professional models.
I'm interested. It's interesting that, and I guess the awards are based off of quality of the camera, the image quality, and I guess the price all sort of goes into a matrix of how you make up the best piece of gear you guys pick.
Yeah, absolutely. We give, along with the sort of the winner and the other top choices, we indicate best buys and, you know, what cameras are particularly good in terms of the amount of features you're getting for the money. Although I have to say our entry-level camera this year was kind of a departure from that. Our winner was the Olympus eVolt E330, which is actually a rather expensive model by entry-level standards, but we chose it because it's the first digital SLR to have a live preview screen.
Oh, really? So that was sort of the winning feature that pushed it over the top versus all of the D50 and the Canon Rebel series digital SLRs. I just wouldn't have thought Olympus.
Yeah, well, I mean, those other cameras are great, but this one makes the transition for someone who's been doing, you know, using a point-and-shoot camera, compact, whatever, and composing on that screen on the back. It makes it sort of familiar to them. It's the first time a camera is offered... Rather, a digital SLR is offered composition on the screen. Ordinarily, you have to shoot through the eyepiece, and then you can review your pictures on the screen. And that's the case with, you know, 95% of digital SLRs out there. But this one has this unique feature, which should make it, you know, more comfortable for someone coming up from, you know, a more point-and-shoot style of camera.
But isn't there going to be somewhat, I mean, with Olympus, isn't there going to be somewhat lens limitation? Because, you know, Nikon and Canon typically have the most lenses options available out there.
Well, they've done an amazing job, Olympus, of bringing in a very sort of full system of lenses pretty quickly. So your choices are pretty broad. And the fact of the matter today in terms of lenses is that with a couple of good zooms, you've got, you know, most of your base is covered. I mean, you can, you know, go from super wide angle to super telephoto, and you only need, you know, two or at most three lenses to do that. And the Olympus system certainly offers that.
Very good. You know, I was sort of interested that, what do you see with the adoption of full-frame sensors in 35-millimeter, you know, digital single reflex lens cameras?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I love them, and our pro model this year was chosen partly for that reason. It was the Canon EOS 30D. I'm sorry, not the 30D, the 5D. And it's a camera that costs almost $3,000, so you pay a lot for having that full-frame sensor, which, in case our listeners don't know, is basically a chip, a CCD chip that fills the entire sort of original 35-millimeter frame size for which these cameras were, you know, really designed. And the advantage of that, obviously, is that, well, not so obviously, but that you can, if you've got a wide-angle lens on it, you get the full goodness of that wide-angle lens. You get the full angle of view that it delivers when it's used as a 35-millimeter lens.
Sure. Now, it's interesting that, you know, Canon has this, the 5D, and they still offer the 1D Mark II N.
Right.
That's actually more money than the 5D is, but it's not a full frame.
Right. Now,
camera.
You know, what you're paying for with a camera like that are things like a faster framing speed and a bigger buffer, you know, the number of images that can be stored in a given burst.
Right. More of a true pro type
exactly.
of where you have to get a quick shot in or something of the sort.
But,
there.
You know, if you don't have to take pictures in a hurry, then those, again, are things you don't really have to have, and you don't really need to pay the extra money for them.
Right, because I think the MD, the 1D Mark IIs is big money compared to this 5D.
Well, it's at least $1,000 more, and maybe a little more than that.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a pro who didn't have to do, say, sports photography or, you know, fast action, I'd certainly consider the 5D.
Sure. Hey, Russell, we're coming to the break. When we come back, we'll let everybody know how to get a hold of you guys in the magazine and the website stuff. So hold on with us, would you, for a sec?
Sure, we'll do.
We're here with Russell Hart, the executive editor of American Photo Magazine. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want all the information about the Macintosh news, tips, information, Apple developer stuff, coming up here actually in 1 week, anything you need for the Mac, www.osxfaq.com. We're here with Russell Hart, the executive editor of American Photo Magazine. Now, Russell, where can people get the book? Where can they subscribe for it? You guys have a website that's a companion to the magazine. How do we get all this cool, great information you guys are cranking out?
Well, we're at a lot of newsstands, of course, and You'll find, as I said, the editor's choice issue on the stands now, but we have a lot of that material on the website, which is AmericanPhotoMag.com. You can go there to subscribe. We'd love it if you did subscribe to the print issue, because there's a lot of good stuff there that you won't find on the web, as great as the website is. So either way, but you know, we'd love people to take a look and see what we picked. And if you go to the website, you can even you know, offer your own counter opinion on it.
I love it. Reader and viewer feedback.
Yes.
Cool stuff there. And you guys actually have a podcast you do with Jay DeFore.
That's right. Jay's our web guy, yeah.
Jay's the web guy, and he's doing the stuff. And, you know, it's great stuff there. So, hey, Russell, I really appreciate you coming today. We really look forward to having you back with Inside Mac and our other new show and all the stuff going on over there.
Great. My pleasure.
Hey, have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you.
You too.
There we go. Russell Hart, executive editor of Pop Photo. Actually, not Pop Photo, American Photo, at popphoto.com. That's where their website is, because Pop Photo and American Photo is all merged into one happy, beautiful, brand-new, monster, huge, killer website. So, American Photo, Russell Hart, cool stuff. We had a cool show today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a pretty good show, yeah. So what else is going on in the
Arthur, news? You were going to talk about feedback.
Oh,
input.
Yeah. You and I were talking at the drag races yesterday about getting listener feedback. The show became very popular. What, it's been a few years now. It's been more than a few years. And in just trying to streamline Inside Mac and make it a better show for everybody that uses it, we'd love to hear your feedback. What over the years have you liked that maybe we've strayed away from, or that maybe we still do here at Inside Mac? What's the stuff you'd like to see us cover? What would you like more of? It's a real easy thing to do. I'm sure you've got ideas right now just from us teasing that, and we'd like to get the feedback from you.
Yeah, so you can send that to radio@insidemac.com. Or you can just cruise on over to your happy little iTunes feedback page, and you can leave it there.
See, I want to
tell the whole world.
Absolutely. See, I want to bribe them.
Yeah.
Because I come from radio. I come from terrestrial radio stations, FM music stations, and what we would do when we, you know, obviously we want to get ratings, so we would try and bolster that by being service our contest pigs is what we always said, and try and buy you off. Now you're saying in the technology world and podcasting and so forth, that might be looked down on, but see. You can blame it all on me. I still want to give them
but
cool
then
stuff
again,
for doing it.
Yeah, well, the thing
well, everybody
is,
likes
know,
cool stuff. No one's going to complain. If
we're
you
not worried
cool
about
stuff,
that because,
yeah.
You know, we are terrestrial broadcasters.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
And so
we can live by those.
And you can blame it on me. Let the old DJ bear the brunt of it all. I want to buy him off with some great gifts, and we can talk about that next weekend.
Yeah.
For your input, we're gonna grease your palm.
We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of iPod goodies. We have a lot of Macintosh stuff. We got software. We got a lot of cool stuff. So we're going to run a little, feedback, make it better. We want to hear from the listener. Hundreds of thousands of people get this program.
Yeah, tell us what you've liked about Inside Mac over the years so we can bring back more of it and just make you feel better
Maybe
about it.
Maybe you want more Desmond Crisis.
Hey, oh. I like that idea. I worked with Desmond at CNET, and we're buds.
Yeah.
Come on.
We got more stuff happening with that. We'll let you know soon.
I've got his number right here.
Yeah, I'll give it to everybody right now. It's 415.
Hey,
oh,
hey, Laura, it's Desmond there. Hey, how are you?
Hey, you've been listening to the Inside Mac program brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners, of course, of the leaders, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You've been here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and, of course, Arthur Morrison. You can find out more information on everything we're doing at www.insidemacradio.com. And, of course, like Art said, if you do have any kind of feedback, suggestions, or anything else, email us at radio@insidemac.com. We'll see you next week with more great stuff about your Mac.